desert in the great American Southwest. I bid you all good evening, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you may be in the world's time zones, all of them covered like a great warm blanket by this program, Coast to Coast AM. I'm Art Bell. My pleasure and honor, of course, to be escorting you through the weekend. Many, many, many of you, after the declarations of the amount of rain I made that we had last week, said, "Hey, Art, why don't you go take a picture of the desert?" So I went to a little BLM land. That's unattended land, government land, a lot of it here, immediately adjacent to my home, and took a photograph. And that is what you will find now on my webcam, Art's webcam. Now, it's a pretty amazing picture. You've got to understand where I'm located is about 20 miles from the Valley of Death, Death Valley. And so there you have it. The picture is worth a thousand words. I told you we had a lot of rain. Take a look at that. It's like a golf course. All right. The boxing saga, Million Dollar Baby, seems to have won the Academy Awards Heavyweight Sunday, claiming Best Picture and three other trophies, including honors for director Clint Eastwood, lead actress Hilary Swank, and supporting actor Morgan Freeman. Martin Scorsese's The Aviator came away with most Oscars, its five awards, including the Supporting Actress Prize for Kate Blanchett. So there you have it. Not too many surprises, really. The man arrested on suspicion of being the BTK serial killer has confessed to at least six of the killings and might be responsible for as many as 13 more, including one, by the way, that could carry the death penalty. Iraqi officials said Sunday that Syria captured and handed over Saddam Hussein's half-brother, a most wanted leader in the Sunni-based insurgency, ending months now of Syrian denials that it was harboring fugitives from the ousted Saddam regime. So there you go, they had his half-brother all along. Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon threatened Sunday to freeze peace efforts if the Palestinian leadership doesn't crack down on militant groups after a weekend suicide bombing in Tel Aviv that killed four Israelis and wounded dozens. Searchers spent a fourth day scouring roads and looking for that little nine-year-old, Jessica Marie Lunsford, last seen Wednesday night in her bedroom. Father discovered she was missing next morning. Police have said a door at the home was unlocked and one of the third grader's dolls also gone. Iran and Russia ignored U.S. objections, and it seems they have now signed a nuclear fuel agreement. They did that today. It is a key to bringing Tehran's first reactor online by mid-2006. Worth asking, I suppose, why the Iranians need or would want a nuclear reactor. Well, you might say they need power too. Well, they have more oil than just about any of us, so why do they need nuclear power? There's an obvious answer to that. In a moment, a little of the other news. There's a headline here that worries me, though it comes from the India Daily. The headline says, "Evidence of extreme disturbance in Earth's core." That's right, Earth's core. We'll get to it in a moment. We are going to be going to open lines very quickly. If you have something of intense interest to the audience, I think this is of intense interest. Now, bear in mind, it comes from the India Daily. A lot of times you have to go out of the country to get news that you're definitely not going to get here. So I can't vouch for it, but I can vouch for the fact that it is from that source. And it is translated, so excuse any apparent disturbance in context here. Geologists in India and the rest of the world are receiving signals of a very disturbed mantle and core of the Earth. According to some computer models, the outer core and the mantle is getting extremely heated. This can cause extreme tension on the Earth's crust and tectonic plates. The net result can be increased earthquakes and volcanoes. The reports are coming from virtually every continent and say the volcanoes, geysers, and mud volcanoes are all ready to explode. According to the scientists, the mantle viscosity is going down due to increased temperature. The outer core is showing signs of molecular agitation. I felt a little of that myself, I think. The inner core is also showing strange signs. According to some contemporary geoscience theories, the Earth's iron core formed with a large share of radioactive uranium, which combined with sulfur to make an extra dense compound. Now, the uranium settled to the center of the core, where it eventually formed a mass big enough to sustain a supercritical nuclear reactor. Not just that, but it functions as a breeder reactor, creating more nuclear fuel than it burns. This provides the energy needed to generate the geomagnetic field. That is, in essence, the theory of geomagnetism and gravity. If the reactor, for some reason, is disturbed, it can cause major problems and eventually explode. The scientists believe chances of that are very remote, although not impossible, and this may be evidence, they suggest, in our solar system. They say there once was another planet, and it exploded and caused major problems for Earth and Mars millions of years back. So there you have it. Problems, disturbances in the Earth's core. Hardly ever get to read stories like that. And then this, straight from Matt Drudge before I went on the air. Headline is, mysterious smell hangs over Chicago. Calls pour into 911 center. Mysterious odor. Hundreds of people reported a mysterious and foul odor in the air throughout Chicago. Sunday, calls came from the south side to the north side of Chicago and even beyond. Chicago's 911 center on West Madison Street fielded many of the calls Saturday night and Sunday morning on the mysterious odor in the city of Chicago. When Edison Park resident Debbie Usher went out to get the paper Sunday morning, she smelled something. She said, quote, I came outside to get newspaper and noticed a strong, very strong smell of gas. At least that's what I thought it smelled like. And the northwest side wasn't the only place Chicagoans noticed the foul and strange odor. Police officers coming and going to and from headquarters at 35th and Michigan smelled it. And as far south as the Hegwisch neighborhood, people thought some kind of fuel might have been spilled or something, smelled like, I don't know, kerosene or, you know, a grassy smell. So, any of you in Chicago who might be able to update us on this foul infestation that you're apparently suffering, I'd enjoy getting some Chicago calls. Can any of you still smell it? And do you wish to point the finger of blame at anything or, well, anybody? East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, I'm calling east of the Rockies. I think.
Yes, you are east of the Rockies.
Well, I dialed the east line.
Well, that's good because that's what you're on. And now you're on the air.
Thank you, sir. This is Susie in the Royal Oak, Michigan area. That's Detroit.
Oh.
And I wanted to say that I thought the ABC program was good for the following reason. The production values were excellent.
Oh, they were, yes.
Yeah, and that's something nobody's mentioned. And I think that's an awfully good way to sort out between what ABC was trying to do and what our, you know, our listeners on Coast to Coast would like to have had.
Yes. Well, again, you know, what the listeners on Coast would like to have and what the general public is able to digest are two entirely different things. It's
and
a very bright audience. You know, they're very well informed.
Exactly. And I think Peter Jennings probably believed in what he was doing more than he might have seemed during that second time when he was running down 1947 in Roswell.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was a pound of flesh that got collected for getting that thing on the air, and I don't think he will miss bringing us a second program.
That's what I'm hopeful of. Thank you very, very much. I'm very hopeful of a second part to that, and then obviously they could get up and go further, but you can't start out at the end of the story, or at least as much as is known by many of you now, but rather at the beginning, and that's what they did. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, this Coast to Coast?
That would be us.
Yeah. Anyway, my name is John. I'm calling from Aberdeen, Washington.
Yes, John.
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about I think it might have been a near-death experience my grandson had that was in a car wreck.
That he had?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, anyway, he was in a car wreck, and there was two other grandchildren in the car with him, and was one other grandchild that was hurt, but the one that was in the wreck, he got his seat belt, went and tore, ripped his aorta, and he's only got about a little over half of his intestines left, but he told me a story without anybody saying anything to him about something that happened to him, which...
What do you say?
He said there was two people in white gowns that was standing by him. They told him to go back to Johnny, which was my name from friends and family when I was younger. And I asked him what they looked like, mm-hmm. and the hair and stuff like that, and his description, it sounded like my my mother and father.
That's very convincing stuff.
Because where he had the accident at was right across from the mouth of the cemetery that my mother and father were buried at.
Well, I'm not sure that there would be a distance thing. In other words, I'm sure that no matter where that had occurred to him, they would have shown whether or not it was close to the cemetery. But, you know, out of the mouths of babes... And I think that's one of the things that gives me, I don't know, some of the most hope when I hear stories about children that have had NDEs and describe things simply, absolutely impossible for them to have known. You know, period clothing, that sort of thing. Relatives, accurate descriptions of relatives they have never seen, that sort of thing. It seems like pretty good evidence and maybe as good as we're ever going to get. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, is this Art Bell?
It is me.
Hey, I just want to tell you, you got the best show on radio, and once I discovered you, I listened to you every weekend.
Well, thank you. It's certainly very different.
I mean, you got the best form because you'll talk to anybody, and I mean, oh, I forgot to tell you, my name is James. I'm in San Francisco, and...
Yes, as you may have noticed, James, you were just ringing the phone, and you went straight on the air.
Yeah, because I was just so excited to talk to you, because you definitely got the best show on radio. I want to say what's up to Tim in Jersey, and thanks a lot, Art.
All right, take care. We just come to you in the raw, as it were. I'm not sure that's the right way to put it. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. How are you?
I'm just fine.
Good. My name is Bart, and I'm calling from Houston, Texas.
Yes.
Listening to you on 740. I just wanted to bring to your attention, you may have already discussed this already, I don't know, but last night you had a call from a young lady that said she had given you some information about the BTK killer.
Yes.
That he had been turned in by his daughter.
That's what she said.
And
yes,
that's true. That turned out to be true today.
Okay. Well, there you go. No, I didn't read that part today, but that's interesting.
I just thought that was pretty good. Your listeners are on the ball that you knew it last night at 1:30 in the morning, and nobody found out about that. His daughter turned him in.
Well, this, again, sir, is what you get when you have open line, unrestricted, unfiltered, screened talk radio. Actually, you just get the real thing.
It's a pleasure. Continue the good job.
Thank you very much,
Take care.
Have a good morning. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Yes. Art?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Earlier today, I emailed you a picture about a UFO.
A picture of a UFO?
Yeah.
Okay.
That I took, it was earlier this evening when I was watching the Academy Awards, and it's something that dug out. I took many years ago and at the beach, Miami Beach, South Beach to be exact.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I emailed you three pictures My name is Nestor, by the way.
Well, I may not have gotten to them yet.
Yeah, because that was like about an hour ago, an hour and a half ago.
Yes.
And anyway, look for the in the subject matter. It says UFO picture, South Beach, Miami.
That'll get my attention, believe me.
Yeah. And anyway, you'll see the UFO between the palm trees and the beach in the background, and you can actually see this tree. I took it from the the balcony of the hotel where I was staying.
All right, sir. If it's a good one, I'll get it up on the website for everybody to see. But that would have been a little late to get on the air tonight. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I just wanted to, first of all, I wanted to say that I enjoy your show very much. I've listened to it for a few months. It's really wonderful.
Thank you. Where are you?
I am in San Diego.
All right.
My name is Joe. I listen to Kogo. The Kogo station.
Yes, sir.
And I just wanted to just make two little comments, or actually just a comment and a suggestion. The first, I agree with you as far as the ABC special. I do think that they could have been a little more open-minded, but I suppose they are trying to reach every teach a few people that don't know much of anything about UFOs what it really is all about. That's the first experience for them.
Well, to have dismissed Roswell as a myth was ridiculous.
I agree.
Absolutely ridiculous. Otherwise, though, contrary to what a lot of ufology had to say and people in ufology, I thought it was a good first step.
Well, the other thing I wanted to suggest, either I know that sometimes you and George Norrie dedicate a single line to whatever you know, you may be looking for out there. Have you ever done, I don't know if this has been done, but have you ever considered opening up a line exclusively for people, your listeners out there, who may at this moment be seeing a UFO in the sky and get a live description?
Oh, well, certainly we've done that many times, sir. As a matter of fact, part of the UFO show you saw, the ABC show, was about a night that we got call after call after call after call about the Phoenix Lights. You see, I came on at 10 o'clock our time, and the whole thing was just going absolutely berserk. I mean, every phone line was lit up with people who were seeing it, that sort of thing. But yes, I suppose one could open a line for those who are seeing one at the moment. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, Art, how you doing?
Just fine.
Listen to you down in New Orleans and on WSMD 1350.
Yes, sir.
Look, something I want to ask you about. I know you talk about global warming a lot, and I kind of believe maybe we're not going through global normalization, not global warming.
Whatever.
Have you ever spoken to anybody in reference to maybe what was the temperature on a planet Earth during a prehistoric time, during dinosaurs, when they were roaming the Earth? Maybe we're just warming back up to that temperature.
Well, yes, sir. Those sorts of questions would be most appropriately directed toward people who drill ice cores. And that's exactly the kind of information they extract from ice cores. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello. Hello.
Yes, Art.
Yes.
They have something tonight also about UFOs on the History Channel tonight.
Okay.
On conspiracy. And the gentleman that was on George Noddy's program the other night about telling about, you know, the Philadelphia Project.
That would be Al Bielek.
Yeah. And, I mean, all this is coming out thanks to you. And I'm very proud of you for doing this, because this should have come out a long time ago.
There's a lot of things that, now remember, with this program, as with many things that you see in the media, or hear in the media on radio, some of it is going to be true, and some of it is going to be BS. And it's frankly up to you to separate in your mind what you think is real and not. But I'm telling you straight out and up front that not all of what you hear here is absolutely true. It's simply not.
Well, I have something to tell you. My husband was taken up in Virginia back in the 60s. Then they appeared again at our home down south. They appeared in the middle of the night inside our home.
They?
Yes. There were two people. I mean, this was like 12:30 at night. I had just gotten on the bed, and I had my back towards the door. And you know that feeling that you have that somebody's behind you?
Oh, yes.
Okay. I turned back over. There were two beings standing in my doorway of my bedroom.
And you would describe them how?
They looked like they were wearing like almost like jumpsuits. It was dark, you know, to their face, but the light was behind them, so I could see them, you know, their outline and everything.
Little bitty people? Big people?
No, they weren't that small, no. And one was holding something in his hand. I couldn't make out what it was, and I tried to wake my husband up. I said, wake up, somebody's in the house. And all of a sudden, I turned back towards them. This light just lit up the whole room like it was daylight, and they were gone. And then they show up again here, where we're living now, across the lake one day. They were sitting right above the trees, and just so happened the shuttle was going up, and it comes right over us as it goes out. And, I mean, it had to actually go jump over it to keep them getting hit by it. I mean, it was sitting right there.
Wow.
And, I mean, we've had experiences with them, and I tell you what, I hadn't thought about it for a long time, and then when I saw a program on TV one night, the fear came back.
Fear, yeah. I understand. All right, well, listen. We've got a break here at the half hour. Open lines at the moment. I'm Art Bell. And coming up at the top of the hour, we've got Greg Bishop. And I believe, by the way, we've got a special prize, very prize, special witness for you coming up in tonight's show. You don't want to miss it.
Bell. Call the Wildcard line at area code 775-727-1295. The first time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll free at 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
According to the India Daily, something wrong, an extreme disturbance in the Earth's core. And then, according to, I believe it's Channel 9 News in Chicago, a foul and mysterious odor overhanging all of Chicago. Could there be a connection? Well, as I said at the top of the hour, Greg Bishop is going to be here, and he's going to be talking a whole lot about UFOs, and he is going to bring a surprise witness, a man who has never talked publicly before. Now, this might not happen, mind you. It might not happen, but I'm not even going to give his name right now. I'm going to be sure they want to give his name, that he wants to actually give his name. But somebody who worked for the Air Force Office of Special Investigation at the OSI, and apparently specialized in disinformation. disinformation. This could potentially be very interesting. We shall see. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi. Yeah, it was great to see you on that show, and your wife is beautiful.
Well, thank you.
I was calling because something happened when I called in last night on the Wildcard Line, and I didn't get to ask my question and of your guest about nanotechnology. I thought maybe I'd just see what you thought about it.
Fire away.
Yeah. You know, there was some talk about how we're sort of all merging into one organism in a strange way with the Internet and stuff, and then we'll be merging with machines. We're already doing that, too. I mean, the Internet is a good example of that, too, you know.
That's the big Borgish move.
Yeah, and how there's, you know, a downside and an upside and all that. But what worried me more than the gray goo and stuff like that was, like, if we all merge with each other and merge with machines, number one, there would probably need to be some programming in there having to do with ethics. And number two, if that was done, would it mean the end of free will as we know it?
If we have it now?
If we have it now.
I mean, haven't you ever wondered? I mean, maybe you were destined, if not programmed, like a puppet on strings to call me up tonight and say all of this. It was all predestined.
Well, you know, like in twin studies, so many times they'll be separated from birth, and it turns out they work at the same type of job, they have the same hairdo, they wear the same kind of, they're wearing the same dress or something, you know. So there's a lot to do with genetics, I guess.
Well, last night scared the hell out of me. I'm serious. I don't know what I've done recently that scared me more than, I mean, he was a very cheerful fellow, I guess.
Yeah.
Very cheerful. But frankly, when it got down to the part where he said the only way that humanity will be able to combat the nanotechnology and the misuse of it is to itself, humanity itself, turn into part machine, that began to get to me a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, how are you going to feel? Are you going to accept it when they come to you with, oh, just a little circuit board and a couple of chips that they want to implant in your head?
Little chip for me to be able to buy things anywhere?
Well, that too, yes, of course. Mm-hmm. I mean, how are you going to react? You're going to say, well,
I think I might run off into the wilderness and learn to eat bark or something.
Bark and bugs.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, thank you very much for the call, and good luck in the woods. Bark and bugs. That is what he said, though, and he was being very, very serious. No kidding around there at all. Nanotechnology, when you actually... And last night was kind of a nanotech 101 of honestly what's coming down the pike, and very soon at that. So if you didn't hear last night's show, dig it out of the archives. Do whatever you have to do to get hold of it and listen to that. It's important. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
I was impressed, and then at the same time, I was kind of disappointed that they did not include the Brentwater UFO experience.
What, in the ABC special?
Yes, in the ABC special.
Well, there would be a million things you could be disappointed in that they didn't get in, but they only had 2 hours.
And I had something else to say.
Okay, but okay. That story alone, sir, would have consumed, I don't know, 30 minutes to even begin to tell it right.
Yeah. I got something else to say. When you consider UFOs, I think we ought to consider them in the time frame that they happen. Like Roswell, you got to consider it in the day 1948. Of course they're going to lie about it. Of course they're going to say it is myth. And they did a very good job, and that's why it was considered a myth.
Now, you mean in 1948 they would have lied, but, well, now
yeah,
they would never lie.
Yeah, but the time frame, what the psychosis was ready for now. But if you look at today, the way the international community is coming together, which is a necessity to actually begin to think that we're not, that there's a greater community out there, universally, we need to understand that as the world starts sort of comes together, maybe that's the step. I mean, I remember from last week they said, you know, stay healthy. Part of that might be the fact that the world is coming together militarily, economically, socially. We're coming together. The Internet's part of that, I think.
Until finally we become one world.
Yeah, until finally we become one world, and we can interact in a world where there's good and bad aliens, there's friends and foe, and we can act together. We can't have, you know, like the Muslims saying, okay, I hate the Jews so much that I'm ready to kill all humanity.
Let me ask you a question, sir. Would it surprise you to know that I've been offered a very substantial position in the New World Order governing body?
Probably not.
It wouldn't surprise you?
No.
Then you're extremely gullible. But thank you for the call. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. This is Jeff from San Bernardino. Tonight calling from Summit Valley, California.
Yes, Jeff. Welcome.
And this is a place where we have seen a few strange things similar to what you and Ramona have seen, triangular objects. I myself was in the United States Air Force at Norton Air Force Base in the past, and I think I can tell the difference between something usual and something unusual.
Yes.
I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the program on ABC's the other night, the documentary.
Okay.
And I had a little bit different take on what they said about Roswell. I believe that the way I heard it, and it was, I had to think about this, they said, from what I understood, people weren't, didn't get out of Roswell what they had hoped to as far as proof that UFOs existed.
Are you talking about on the program?
Yes.
Well, there was no proof at all, sir. They called it a myth.
They said that there was I did hear them say that, that a lot of people did think it was myth, and that anybody who thought that they were going to get proof out of it did not get out of it what they wanted to. But
well, it's the one place, in my opinion, the program fell flat on its face.
I do agree with you on that.
Yeah.
But I also wanted to point out that I believe it was in 2003, and MSNBC ran this program earlier in the week, probably because of the UFO seeing is believing on ABC. Bryant Gumbel did a very in-depth two-hour program on Roswell, and they gave a lot of different angles on Roswell,
mm-hmm.
and information from all sides, and left you, the viewer, to decide what you wanted to out of all that information. They laid all the cards on the table.
Yeah, it's the best way to do it. I try and do the same thing here. In other words, I fully understand and represent to you that some of what you hear here is BS. There's no question about it. Some is not. Many times what you hear on this program is reflected in headlines a week, a month, and a year later. Much of what you hear here. But on the other hand, some is BS, and you have to pick through it. Now, I regard you as adults. You ought to be at this time of night, for the most part. And you can make your way through it and sort of accept what you will and reject what you will. First time caller line, you are on the air. Hello.
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 Mr. Bell?
Yes, that would be me.
I was holding for quite a while. But listen, it's a pleasure speaking with you. I called last week, and they gave me some shenanigan runaround that you weren't there. But I heard you, and I knew you were there, and I think they would just... Well, anyway, that's irrelevant to the point. But
well, you see...
I knew it was you, and the man told me it was some tomfoolery going on.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know what man you're referring to. Now, it could have been, you see, during the weekend when I was off, in which case he would have been pleading the absolute truth to you. So I don't know.
I don't know, but I know it was you.
Well, it's me
like
now. Anyway, the point is...
The toast, Art Bell, is the most. You're better than jam on my toast, Mr. Bell, because I just love you.
All right. Where are you? Where are you, my dear?
I'm calling from New Jersey. My name is Louise, and I will not tell you anything more specific because... I know, well, the reason I'm calling, my husband, who's deceased, worked for Naval Intelligence many, many years ago. And I know that some of the projects he worked on dealt with UFOs and aliens, but he wouldn't even discuss certain things with me. But I believe that even today that the aliens are among us.
He would not tell you, his wife?
Yes, he's deceased now.
I understand, but he wouldn't even tell his own wife.
He told me certain things, but they were confidential, classified, and I couldn't even discuss them with you or my friend Clara.
Okay.
But I know that there's certain alien beings are injecting drugs into the air that we breathe.
Oh, so you would tell me as much as you tell Clara, or would you tell Clara more?
Well, that's irrelevant to the point, but I know that the alien beings, these grays, they're injecting some type of drugs into the air we breathe, and it's It's contaminating us.
Do you have any idea what these drugs are doing?
Well, I could tell you some things that, but...
Well, please.
I cut my hair.
You cut your hair? You think these drugs made you cut your hair?
I had to, because Clara told me to do certain things. I put aluminum foil around the lampshade.
You did. And what, Clara told you? Clara instructed you to do that?
She said it would help to reflect the drugs back into the atmosphere.
I see.
I think that's nonsense. They're going to penetrate us.
If it's nonsense, why do you have aluminum foil on your lampshades?
Well, I have to try it, but it's not working.
Well, but you'd never know for sure. How could you know for sure whether it was working or not? Of course, you did cut your hair. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. This is Eric, truck driver cruising down I-90 in great state of Minnesota.
Yes, Eric.
Hey, I just wanted to let you know, I'm from Northern California, and there's a mountain in Lake County, California. It's called Mount Conocti. Now, the weird thing about this mountain is it's an extinct volcano. The strange thing is that they know it's hollow inside. Now, no one's been able to find the entrance to this volcano, and the thing that piqued my interest about this is that there was a couple scientists that were actually on this mountain looking for the entrance to it, and they had the permission of the owners of the land. Then all of a sudden, for no reason, they kicked them off the property, and they forbid anybody to look for the entrance to this mountain.
Hmm.
And I thought it was kind of unusual.
Why do you think they might have done that?
I think that there's possibly something going on in there, or it may lead to something that somebody doesn't want anybody to find out. It just piqued my interest, and I think that it may be something worth looking into.
All right, sir. Well, let me know when you get out how it goes. I think he's probably suggesting the rest of us look into it. I've always been fascinated, as you know, with very deep holes in the ground, tunnels, the inside of mountains, absolutely intrigued, but never sufficiently to go scurrying down a rope, you know, into some dark pit or something. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Yeah, hi, Art. This is Jim from Fort Lauderdale, listening on WIOD.
Hi, Jim.
I'm a truck driver, as you can tell.
Yes.
Your guest last night, boy, he was a very, very excellent show.
Yes.
What he was talking about with the nanobots and the artificial intelligence, you must watch the show Stargate. Do you watch that show?
No.
Okay, because they have a bunch of aliens they call the replicators. And they all started out as one-celled nanobots, and they're like a little rector sets, and they keep building themselves into the same thing over and over again.
That's the whole idea of nanotechnology. It's replication mostly.
Well, it just everything he was saying last night, and you saying the bad scenario could be scary, and watching the Stargate shows, and they take over. They can be one-celled bots, or they can form giant. They get together and can form giants, big things, and take over the ships and all. But it's very. It seemed like it was very similar to what he was talking about last night.
All right. Well, we're going to, I think, as the next year or two progresses, we're going to begin hearing a very great deal about nanotechnology. And a lot of what is science fiction today, his nanobots, the nanobots he was talking about, are liable to be with us a lot sooner than we think. I really did. I thought last night's program was quite educational, first of all. And after you began to understand what it was that last night's guest was talking about, then it began to scare you, if you were really listening. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, Art. This is Willow from Lake Matthews, listening on KFI.
How you doing?
I'm fine. I expected, watching that program, to see what had happened with Art's parts.
Well, that, too, would have been a very long segment, my dear. They were tested extensively at several different locations, and there would be a lot to report, but it was not normal. So Arts Parts continue to exist. I still have left my portion of them. I gave Larry King a little piece. Otherwise, I've kept them. Other pieces went out for research, but they came back with ratios that were all wrong.
Well, I heard about that, but they're still safely stored somewhere.
Oh, you betcha.
Well, I would sure like to see them tell me what their opinion is of that and call it a myth.
Well, again, that might be for another program. But what we were told by those who tried to duplicate the material in Arts Parts was that it was not possible on Earth. In other words, they could not duplicate the structure and the layering of the bismuth and so forth. It just couldn't be done.
No, identify it completely from what I heard.
That's right. Show. That's absolutely correct.
Yeah. Okay. Well, good wishes to you and your family.
Take care.
All right.
To east of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hello, Art. This is Jimmy Jay from Wichita, Kansas.
Howdy.
Say, I just wanted to call in and correct what an earlier caller said about BTK's daughter turning him in.
Okay.
Skinny on that is that they went to her and got her DNA to match some DNA they had.
Okay.
And they said that it was about a 90% make on that. And
I guess it's a moot point, since my understanding is tonight's headline has him confessing to at least half a dozen murders.
Well, they really haven't said that here on the news.
Oh, Associated Press has said that.
Well, I don't think they haven't said that here locally.
Right. You might want to check. It's pretty late news.
But anyway, you must be a real Jekyll and Hyde, because all these church members thought he's a great guy. I know one personally, and he was on TV tonight.
Oh, you always hear that about serial killers. Why, he was next door. He was an okay guy. Oh, he was very quiet, and he always held the door for me when I came through, and he always had a smile on his face, and you know, he worked with the Cub Scouts. I mean, just the nicest guy in the world. And of course, he murdered 6 people, 13 people, whatever. I'm speaking more generically now. You're on the air, Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Bell.
Howdy. Where are you?
I'm right here in your own backyard.
My own backyard?
In Pahrump, yes.
Oh, you're in Pahrump, Nevada. All
yes,
right.
Sir.
Listening to?
Listen to you, of course.
On?
On K9.
K9. I had to drag it out of you.
Oh, no, I know.
All right, listen, we don't have a lot of time. What's up?
No, I was just my wide range of audience you have. Great people. I was just curious as to your thoughts on cloning. I know mankind's been cloning themselves for millions of years.
I know. Even right now, sir, you can get your cat cloned. What is it? What's the name of that guy? Well, anyway, it won't come to me, but for about $50,000, or maybe even a discounted $30,000 now, I don't know, you can get your cat cloned. An exact, precise duplicate. I've had nothing but bad luck since the day I saw the cat.